Good morning. Certainly thankful that you're here today. Certainly thankful that all of us are here together worshiping our God. So thankful that God answers our prayers in regard to those who've been ill. Good to see Janet here again this morning. And it's good. I'm so thankful that I feel so much better than I did about a month ago. So the Lord has certainly answered our prayers in regard to that as well. As Alan said, we're going to talk about what kind of people should you be this morning. And on occasion, we sing a couple of songs that deal with holiness. And I'm sure that you recognize these. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. The second verse of that song, you are holy God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. You are holy, God, a perfect and holy God. We will come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus' blood. And then there is a similar song that we sometimes sing. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, beginning in verse 11, Peter talks about godliness and holiness. He said, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In this text, Peter asks a question that is extremely relevant to us today. What sort of people ought you to be? And the songs that I showed you the verses in earlier, they certainly remind us of the incident in the Old Testament when the angel of God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And God told Moses, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Even though this verse indicates a holy place, the reason it was a holy place was because of the very presence of God. As the song says, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. As Christians, we understand that the Lord is present with us today as we are here worshiping him in this building. But just as importantly, the Lord is also present in our individual lives as we go about doing our daily duties. And we know that as Christians, his Holy Spirit lives within us, because we are his holy temple. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 15 through verse 16, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Yes, we serve a holy God. And all of heaven cries out day and night unceasingly, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Just as God is love, He calls us to be loving people. And just as God is holy, He calls us to exemplify holiness in our own lives. Holy people remember holy events. Peter wrote his second epistle, we're told, in order to stir you up by way of reminder. So we're to have our memories stirred up. We are to consider what is said in the Bible, and we are to live by it. But more than that, we are to live lives that are in accordance with the will of God, and that's living holy lives. But if you're like me, you are fairly forgetful. And the older I get, the more forgetful I get. There was an older lady who stopped midway on the stairs in her house, and she just stood there. And her husband walked by and asked her what she was doing. And she said, "Well, I can't remember whether I was coming or going." And that's the way it is, I think, with all of us from time to time. We can't remember whether we are coming or going. And I'm fully convinced that that is the reason that God has commanded His people to assemble on the first day of every week, to worship Him, and to partake of the memorial feast called the Lord's Supper. We need to be reminded often why we are here, who we are serving, and to whom we should offer our praise and thankfulness. Peter said he wrote to them that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. And by departure there, it is the word for exodus. He's saying, I want you, even after I'm gone, even after I've died, to be able to call these things that I have written to your memory. The words recorded by Peter and other inspired writers are not just made-up stories that are to be handed down from generation to generation by good storytellers. Peter and others were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And you might recall that Peter was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he heard the very voice of God declare, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God did not rely on the failing memories of men to record His holy words for us. But Peter clearly stated that the words he wrote were given to him by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." When we open up our Bibles and when we read the words that are there, we are reading the words of God. The words that God gave to these spiritual men to write down and to be preserved for you and I and for generations to come if the Lord does not come first. Holy people will also not follow after false teachers. We are living in a very critical time in history. Many historians and theologians refer to this period of history as post-Christian. There are a number of people who profess to be Christians in this era. In some respects, the profession of Christianity, the reading of religious books, the listening to Christian radio stations is at an all-time high. But this is also a very ecumenical era in which we live. The majority of Christendom is shouting that it doesn't matter what people believe as long as they believe in Jesus. And that's not right. Of course, we have to believe in Jesus. Jesus is the source of our faith. Jesus is our salvation. But we also have to understand that the words of God are written for us to follow and to heed. We cannot just believe in Jesus and then do whatever we want to do in order to be saved and in order to be in a right standing with Him and expect to go to heaven when we die. Peter and other Christian writers, other inspired writers, proclaim that our faith must have Christ as the foundation, and the inspired words of God are, of course, the building blocks for our holy temple. You cannot accept Christ, the Son of God, without accepting the inspired word of God. They go together. Jesus spoke the very words of God when He came to earth. And those words are preserved for you and me today. Peter warned his audience about false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. He said there would be false prophets or teachers who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Peter noted that God makes a distinction between people who are holy and people who are unholy. God did not spare unholy angels when they sinned, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. But He did spare the holy angels. He did not spare the unholy in the days of the flood, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. But He did spare Noah and his family. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, He spared 8 people out of all the people that were living on earth at that time because they were holy. He did not spare the unholy in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. But He did spare righteous Lot and his 2 daughters. Peter concludes this argument with a very reassuring promise for the holy people of God. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. We can also learn that holy people grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said that God provides His people with everything we need for life and for godliness. God has made us great and magnificent, precious promises to enable us to participate in His divine nature, His holiness, and to escape the corruption of sin, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. And Peter even tells us how to keep from falling from the grace of God and how to assure the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which will be abundantly supplied to you, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. But he does warn us that we can fall from God's grace. He says, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He even states that people who have once been holy can turn to a life of unholiness and be lost. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 20 all the way through verse 22, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. What was the first state? The first state, or the first condition that they were in, was that they were lost. And then they came into a relationship with Christ, and then they were entangled in the world, and they went back into the world and into sin. And he says that last state is worse than the first. So if they were lost, that must mean they were loster. I know that's not good English, but that gets the point across. So they were lost in a worse state than they were before. It happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. So how are we to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, we're to grow by simple addition. Add to faith goodness. And then add to goodness knowledge. And then add self-control. And add perseverance. And godliness. And brotherly kindness. And love. And then he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. When we let God add one holy quality to our lives after another, we make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. And lastly, this morning, holy people accept that one day the Lord will eternally separate the holy from the unholy. By his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. The Lord has not forgotten his promise. He is very patient, and he wants every person who has been made in his image to be saved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. But God assures us that the Lord will come one day, and when he comes, he will come unexpectedly. It will be a day of destruction for the unholy, but for the holy, it will be a day of joy and glory. We are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And this is why we should be people who live holy and godly lives. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus, led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. So what sort of people ought you to be? You shall be holy, God says, for I am holy. I hope and pray that you are living a life of holiness. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to our Lord's invitation, if it is to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and if it is to ask for the prayers of brothers and sisters so that you can be forgiven of your sins and walk a holy life, we want to help you. And we ask you to come while we stand and sing.